Hey, it's Dasein, a philosopher here. Hope you guys are having a pretty awesome Monday. Today I've been trying to use a new method of documenting the process of writing my next philosophy book. So today I actually started going through my journals dating back from 2011 until the present with the goal of extracting everything and anything that may have influenced my current philosophical thought. As an exercise to better understand myself and a reality that I never chose to be born into, I am combining this existential analysis with C.J. Jung's concept of circumambulation. In his book titled Memories, Dreams, and Reflections, Carl Jung states that there is no linear evolution. There's only circumambulation of the self. Uniform development exists, at most, at the beginning. Later, everything points towards the center. This insight gave me stability, and gradually, my inner peace returned. If I've properly understood this concept, it seems that Jung's idea of the self is ever-changing, and that new insights in the present can create new ways of interpreting one's past and future. This constant flux found within the structure of an individual's past and future present remind me of Heidegger's historic city of Dasein and Heraclitus's everything is in constant flux. For me to assume that my past has been and is set in stone would be to limit that which I can become and that which I have always been. Furthermore, with the focus on becoming whole instead of simply becoming good, it seems that any important past event that still causes a negative emotional response only further highlights that I have not yet successfully integrated the lessons to be found in such emotionally charged events. The question then begs to be asked, what is the underlying origin of that presupposition that my future self-actualized being requires the past to be integrated instead of annihilated? Nihil as the Latin word for nothingness. Next, I would like to talk about the philosophy dictionary that I've been using since 2015. Originally written in French, Dictionnaire de Philosophie, under the direction of Jean-Pierre Zaradet, is a philosophical tool that I bought during a visit in the city of Quebec on October 10th, 2015. With the help of over 90 specialists, teachers, researchers, and academics from all over France, this dictionary was created and has helped with either improving the conceptualization of my philosophical thought or improving the formulation of my philosophical questions. This work will be a starting point for my research before I depart for Europe at the end of June this year, where I'll be traveling to over 12 different countries with the goal of exploring not only philosophy, but also, and in my opinion, necessarily pedagogy. If philosophy can be defined as the love, philo, of knowledge, sophie, and that pedagogy as the art and science of teaching, then it seems to me that the artist scientist, pedagogue, is necessarily linked to philosophy or the philosopher. Maybe I hold a certain bias, as it is very likely that I have made mistakes and will continue to make mistakes. However, in February of 2015, I left the course on the philosophy of education with the following idea burned into my mind, that a good education in philosophy is a good philosophy of education. I don't think I have a choice, and this would be deterministic, but to ask the following questions, and as a young professional, I must also determine the utility of such inquiry. What is the structure of the connection between philosopher and pedagogue? Why must one establish their own philosophy of education before receiving the responsibility of educating future generations? Can I be a philosopher and pedagogue, or will the society that I ever asked to be born into necessarily force me to specialize? So the next parts of this podcast will essentially be me going through an old journal from 2012. Well, I guess it starts on the last day of 2012. And essentially, I'll be trying to extract all the philosophical thought that I can from said journal. So let's begin. January 1st, 2013, Tuesday. I've realized that alcohol is bad for you. January 2nd, 2013. It's the first Wednesday. I spent most of the day paying attention to the basics and foundations of what I do, paying attention to the daily routines and the drills that I practice on a day-to-day basis. January 3rd, 2013, first Thursday. I've been paying attention to how I can refine my technique and also how I can compensate for the moments where I'm not able to rely on my strengths. Basically, I'm trying to refine my weaknesses while also refining my technique. January 4th, 2013, first Friday. Again, I've spent most of the day paying attention to my technique with a little bit more attention being put on my form today. I treated myself to a cigarette after completing all my work. January 5th, 2013. I've been trying to focus on becoming more efficient with my technique and form. Therefore, I'm paying more attention to highlighting my strengths while also exposing a minimal amount when it comes to my weaknesses. January 7th, second Monday of 2013, originally written in French. My ideas are passing through my mind at extremely rapid pace. I find that writing in French is difficult, but I seem to be more awake at this time than I was a few hours ago. January 8th, 2013. I've been at school most of the day. Basically, I've been here for the past 12 hours. I haven't had homework, so most of the day has been spent reading. Luckily, I finished all my exercises in calculus, and I've been able to rewrite my notes in French. I'm on my way to my Ethics of War and Peace class, which seems interesting, and the prof does seem fairly intelligent. January 10th, 2013. I finished reading Tao of the Wu today, and it was a very interesting book with a message that was equally as profound. This book talks about the life of Rizza from Wu-Tang Clan and how his experiences helped become the foundation of his philosophy. While reading this book, I learned the importance of equilibrium, wisdom, and God. I've been inspired by this book, and I hope that nature will guide me towards the direction of success. I've been planning to read the Bible and the Quran just to kind of see a different perspective on life. January 11th, 2013. Calculus was a lot easier today. It seems that my mind is becoming more and more able to grasp the mathematics that I'm learning in school. January 11, 2013. I'm now at Sydney Clawson for practice. It seems that my efforts the previous weeks have been able to pay dividends this week. Music seems to guide my art, the temptations to follow my own impulses. January 16, 2013. I've created a foundation for good habits towards studying during my study sessions. It seems that a way that I can study now has been improved compared to how I was studying back in high school. Luckily, this semester has just begun and I have even more time to improve. January 22nd, 2013, I've begun studying archaea, bacteria, and eukaryotes. January 23rd, 2013, I spent the whole day studying physics. January 28, 2013, fifth week of 2013. I spent most of the day in the gym. And I've also developed 5 weeks of working out plans that go through full body workouts for the next 5 to 8 weeks. January 29th, 2013. I've been able to develop a plan and schedule solely on flexibility drills and cardio. January 30th, 2013. I've been starting to look into dialectic and the idea of writing a thesis, antithesis, and a synthesis. February 1st, 2013. I've reverse engineered the next 5 years of my stay here in university. It'll take me a total of 3 years to finish my first degree in sciences, and another 2 years for me to finish a degree in education. I've reverse engineered every single class I must take and how they fit into a schedule for my first degree in sciences. I do not have access to the schedule, therefore I cannot plan my second degree in education just yet. February 20th, 2013. It's the 8th week of 2013. I want to be able to say that I no longer smoke. It seems easy, but I'm not quite certain. And I feel that I will have to accept the solitude as though many of my friends smoke. I do hope that nature will guide me towards my dreams and will help me along this endeavor. Last day of February 2013, originally written in French. Anger is felt when man believes that he has been mistreated. March 7th, 2013. It seems as if other people's vocal tonality and body language has been highlighted. I've also been working on deleting some of my own vocal and corporal tics. March 8, 2013. If I become fully lucid and constantly conscious during my dreams, what would be real? The world where I can make anything happen with a simple thought? Or the world where I can make anything happen through lifelong effort and achieve this goal? Obviously, where the world where I am here or there. March 9th, 2013. I finished reading Albert Camus' The Myth of Sisyphus. It makes me ask, is the world unreasonable? What's the point? If nothing matters, why not end it? No, that's the weak way out. Sisyphus is the one rolling a boulder up a hill, but when it falls, he must eternally return down the hill and roll it back up. However, Camus challenges us to imagine that Sisyphus is content because he sees it coming. March 10th, 2013. I spent most of the day studying physics, and today I've learned that in an open environment, there is no preference in the length of waves. But in a closed environment, the waves that appear seem to have a certain length, and a certain length only. March 11th, 2013. I ask who said this. The greatest people in history are the ones that sacrifice their happiness for the happiness of others. I'm not quite convinced. March 12th, 2013. I spent most of the day studying biology, more specifically the human body. I'm currently looking at the digestive system, more specifically the liver and its functions. March 17th, 2013. I spent most of the day studying physics, more specifically the difference between refraction and reflection. April 2013. I spent most of the month studying St. Thomas d'Aquinas and his work, A Treaty of Perpetual Peace, which states that there are 7 maxims necessary in order to attain perpetual peace. Maxim 1, stop creating peace treaties with the provisions of having war in the future. Maxim 2, stop exchanging arms with other countries. Also stop exchanging soldiers with other countries. This is essentially slavery en masse. Maxim 3, delete your armies. There's no need to have a standing army once we have perpetual peace. Maxim 4, stop lending money to other countries. Maxim 5, stop entering other countries with the idea that you're helping them. Maxim 6, if there's no way to avoid war, make sure that you conduct war in a way that's honest. No one will sign a peace treaty with a country that has used dishonest strategies, such as using assassins and poison. Maxim 7, formulate republics. It's much harder to convince a full republic to go to war than it is to convince simple individual countries. May 2013. I've been beginning to study a little bit of rhetoric or the art of speaking. Aristotle wanted to create a method for lawyers of defense in Athens. This would be the first development of rhetoric.